Throughout this month, we are exploring a worship series called Thirsty, which is inspired by this book, which is in the entryway called Thirsty, Reflections on Thirst as a Means of Grace. And later in the month, we have the honor of meeting the author of the book, Reverend Rhoda Preston, who will be preaching at the end of the month. And so as we kind of settle in and explore these themes of spiritual thirst, I wanted to start our time by honoring the work of the author who's inspired our series, as well as kind of setting out the tone for some of the things that we will be exploring over the course of the month. On page 10 of Reverend Preston's book, she titles Thirst as a Means of Grace and writes this to come before us this day. Why did God decide to speak to us through the metaphor of thirst? Perhaps one reason is all of us, without exception, need water to live. And thirst is a universal experience, something all persons everywhere can understand. Thirst is an ordinary part of human existence, a basic, essential mechanism that helps to keep us alive. So when God wants to get our attention, thirst can serve as a readily available, universally accessible tool. But it's not pleasant being thirsty. Thirst itself isn't the cause of the difficulty. It's a symptom, an indication your body may have already lost 1 or 2% of its water content. And as such, thirst signals an important message. Take notice, please. Water needed here. Thirst enables you to recognize something vital is missing and triggers the impetus to address and satisfy the need. And that is a blessing. The same, I believe, is true for spiritual thirst. When our souls feel parched, the spiritual thirstiness raises a red flag for us, warning, no, things are not okay. Your relationship with God is already suffering from spiritual dehydration. You're facing a genuine need for God's presence and power in your life. So pay attention to the thirst. As such, spiritual thirst, while making us uncomfortable, is actually a good thing. A godsend, a divine gift. Something theologians might call a means of grace. For if we acknowledge our thirst, it can compel us to seek God's grace-filled living water, a search that will ultimately lead to a deeper relationship with God. And that is a blessing. I can't wait to meet Reverend Preston, right? That'll be really great to hear her and her own words. And what I love most of all and why I wanted to read that from her book is to set that table and that idea that being thirsty is not necessarily a horrible thing. It can be a blessing. It can help us discover and uncover what is amiss or lacking in our lives. And that when we care for it, we can find ourselves in a better place, right? Either physically healthier, emotionally healthier, or spiritually healthier. And so through the course of this month, I'm going to encourage and invite you to pay attention to those parts in your life where you feel thirsty for something. Maybe you don't even know what it is or why it is. Maybe it just annoys you and has you feeling resentful. But the challenge before us is to not either, as good Minnesotans, pretend it doesn't bother us, to repress, but to look it square in the eyes and figure out what's going on and trust that God might be able to lead us to a deeper answer, a better, more fulfilling solution. Okay, I didn't mean that as a pun. something that is really going to satisfy us. So today, we're going to spend a little bit more time as we think about thirsts, about that complaining side of being thirsty. That's a good thing. We think about that a lot in the summer, right? Have any of you felt a little thirsty this summer at any one particular time or another? Usually in my household, it's an ongoing saga, and I feel like I'm the mom who's constantly all day long at the fridge giving one more kid that's not actually mine, just at my house, another glass of water. Because, you know, they're running around, they're sweating, they're having a great time, but then they're also thirsty. And when thirst happens, as Reverend Preston says, we can get pretty angry. And that's definitely what we heard in our scripture lesson for today. We start with a biblical passage where we are with Moses and, you know, those love to hate him Israelites in the book of Exodus. And I love the book of Exodus and appreciate that for those of you who were here last year, were willing to spend all fall in the book of Exodus with me, because I just love how real people are in the book of Exodus and how the power of God intervenes in amazing ways. But most of all, it's often in these ordinary passages like the ones we heard today. So I want to spend a little time thinking about the gift of being thirsty and being honest about our complaints and how God can meet us in that. So let's go back to our text. And I'm just going to do a little bit with this scripture today that's a little bit different. What I want us to do is, I'm gonna give you homework today. I don't usually give you homework, and you're probably thinking that's a real bummer because it's the summer, and I've given you summer homework. But here's what I want you to do. Since this whole series is about being thirsty and about finding a way to talk to God, and I invite you into considering using scripture in your prayer time to kind of lay before God the things that are in your heart, and especially because this is a good complaining scripture, this is a great one to pray over if something is amiss, because man, is it relatable. And I would hope that as I walk through the scripture, that maybe I can provide a few other like little nuggets for you so that when you pray the scripture, it comes a little bit more alive to you. And that over the course of this week, you can continue to pray it in such a way where you hear God speak to you a little bit more deeply and a little bit more convincingly for whatever it is that's going on in your life. So I'm just going to kind of give you like a little quick fun facts through this scripture lesson and give you homework. So here we go. It says in Exodus 17, the whole Israelite community broke camp and set out from the Sin Desert to continue their journey. Pause. All right, so if you're new to Exodus, here's the deal. The story of Exodus is about a group of people who are freed from slavery in Egypt and on their way to the Promised Land. At this point in Exodus, they've done all the Charlton Heston magical stuff with the 10 plagues and the Red Sea and all the most exciting parts of Exodus, and they just got the manna and the quails. So here are the people who have seen, they have actually been freed from slavery. They have seen supernatural things that they cannot explain, and this guy called Moses has now led them out, and now food is actually falling from the sky. What was that movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? It's like that, like food falling from the sky and taking care of them. And yet, here they are, all these amazing things that have happened, and yet they have quite a big journey to go, and we can see that they're starting to get tired. And so it says, they continued on their journey, as the Lord commanded, and they set up their camp at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Okay, I'm going to pause again, because most of us don't speak fluently Hebrew, especially biblical Hebrew. So the word Rephidim, and I don't know Hebrew well myself. So I just know this from kind of studying, is that Rephidim means resting place. So They stopped at a rest stop, okay, guys? They stopped at a rest stop, and they get angry because this rest stop doesn't have everything they need. It is inadequate. It is incomplete. And they are thirsty. Any of you ever been on a family trip and you stopped at a rest stop that didn't have all the things you needed and you realized that your kids were going to be pretty angry at you because it did not have what you thought you were going to promise them? I see a couple of nods and talks sideways. Yes, we have all seen the wrath of what happens when you stop at an inadequate rest stop. And that's what's happening here. They stop at an inadequate rest stop. And so what happens? It says in verse 2, the people argued with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Now, fun fact again. See, a lot of this Hebrew stuff is play on words because, of course, Moses' name means drawn from the water. So they're like, "Hey, water boy. We'd like your help, buddy. We've seen you part, you know, the Red Sea and, I don't know, fire from the sky or whatever it is you do." And so they just say to the guy whose name means drawn from the water, "Help us out. You know, we're in a pinch and we are thirsty. And you said you were in charge of us." And Moses says right back, "Why are you arguing with me? Why are you testing the Lord?" Now, most of us would say, "Because they're thirsty and they're tired," right? I mean, that's the point. This is not like a theoretical thing. They are, you know, they're worried that they're going to die. And it says, "But the people were very thirsty for water, and they complained to Moses, 'Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill our children and our livestock with thirst?'" And for those of us who were able to study Exodus last year, we know basically this is the whole pattern of Exodus, right? God does something amazing. 10 minutes later, the people are hungry and tired and complaining that they're not comfortable or that they're going to die. And we have this cycle of them learning and moving and growing, but this is where they're at. They're just concerned that maybe this is game over. And as what happens often with these cycles is that Moses then decides to go to his supervisor, and he cries out to God, "What should I do with this people? They're getting ready to stone me. Like, this is getting really real, God, help." And the Lord says to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of Israel's elders with you. Take in your hand the shepherd's rod that you used to strike the Nile River and go. I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Hit the rock. Water will come out of it, and the people will be able to drink." All right, so thirsty people, inadequate rest stop, water boy, ask God for help. And God says, God brings a solution. But what's interesting here that we often skip over is that God doesn't cause the water to fall from the sky and go right to Rephidim. And it's not just problem solved right there. He says, go up the road to Horeb. Now, for those of you who were here last week, that's where our Bible story last week was. It was at Horeb with Elijah. And you know, if you remembered from last week, that Horeb was also a name for Sinai, right? So for our friend Moses, Moses knows, that's where you were on fire and you got me into this mess. Because that's where the call story happens for Moses. So he's like, that's where God tends to show up and things happen. So he goes to Horeb, and that is where there's going to be this act of grace. And that is where the water flows from, is from Sinai. It doesn't flow at Rephidim. It doesn't flow at that inadequate rest stop. It comes from a mountain, which is weird, right? Because usually when we look for water, we don't go up. We dig, right? Especially in the Bible, they're usually digging wells. So this is all very unusual. But then we hear that he hits the rock, the water flows, and they live to face another day. So here's where I want to pause with the scripture and invite you in and assign your homework. When we hear these Bible stories, They are written in such a way to draw us in and to invite us to be a part of the story so that God can speak to us, not just in the pretty, comforting ways, but also with the uncomfortable stuff that we usually want to edit out of existence. And that God finds ways to speak to especially the ugliest, most complaining, gross parts of us and provide grace and resolution and assistance and a way to lead us out. So my hope is that what you do this week is that you take this scripture and use it in your prayer time and be willing to put yourself into the scriptures and think about those things of not only what does it mean to be thirsty, but where is it in my life that I stop and find inadequate rest, right? There's rephidims in my life where I stop and I'm like, this is not where I need to be. This is not cutting the mustard. And be okay in the uncomfortableness of crying out to God and saying, help, I don't like this. What is going on? And when you stop and when you listen, be ready for the fact that God will lead you to another place, often a surprising place, a transformative place. But God will not leave you in that place of inadequacy. God is always coming with mercy and grace. It usually takes a few twists in the road, and it's not always immediate. But where is it that God is drawing you forward so you don't have to be stuck at that inadequate rest stop anymore? Where is that rock that God is calling you to be that source of water and life for your life? You know, too, with this particular passage, because we know the end of the story, that Mount Sinai is just like, that's the place, right? That's the place where the Israelites repeatedly encounter the fullness of God. And so it's fitting that this water comes from Mount Sinai. But I want us to, as we think about that and think about our thirsts, and especially when we just feel like there's nothing to go on, is that we recognize that like the Israelites, God is also working repeatedly at creating sacred spaces and communities for us to encounter the fullness of God. We know that God is not limited to a geographic location, and that everything is full of the sacred presence. But we also know that there are tools and places and spaces where we can gather, where it's a little easier to hear and see the fullness of God. So like those Israelites that relied on Mount Sinai to encounter the glory of God, my hope, too, is that in our shared work, together as Crosslands United Methodist Church, we can make this space, this physical ground and this beautiful facility, be a place where people can come with their thirsts. And that we can have the grace and the resiliency to recognize there might be a lot of complaining when they come with those thirsts, because they come yearning for the fullness of God. And my hope is that we can be strong enough and compassionate enough to allow the fullness of life to enter into our facility and in our way of life together, so that all of those things may be blessed and anointed by God, and that we may be a sacred space for people to realize that they do not have to be thirsty anymore. I think it's a tall order. I think that you've been working really hard at it already. And I just want to say, how grateful I am for being your pastor, for the ways that you extend grace in the world, and I hope that in this coming week, you might be okay being a little thirsty. Amen.